And so we had said that it really hurts. Yeah, amen. When you give, it should hurt. Amen. It should hurt. It should be healthy, and it should make you happy. And I want to add another one that relates to holiness. Now, when we talk about he said you need to give because sacrificial giving really does hurt a little, but it wouldn't be a sacrifice if it wasn't. David says, I need to give the Lord a sacrifice that costs me something. Amen. Amen. I don't want you to pay my way. I want to give God a sacrifice that costs me something. And in order to do that, I ought to feel it. It ought to hurt. It has to be personal. It cannot be professional. It's not. It has to be something that cost me. It's a personal thing that it diminished my value in some way. It shouldn't be something that I got by with. It should impact you personally. It should be a sacrifice that you made. So the offering ought to hurt because the sacrifice got hurt. Blood was spilled at the altar. The animal got hurt. The sacrifice got hurt. Matter of fact, the sacrifice died. And so David said, no, I'm going to have to bring something of my own personal value and kill it. And that's what the pets were, the domesticated animal. This was not a wild animal. It had to be a animal that was domesticated, that was he had an attachment to. So when that knife went in that animal, he felt it. He felt it. And that is a sacrifice that would pay for his sins. It had to cost something. It could not be a sacrifice where I'm detached from it and somebody paid for it for me because I'm the one that sinned. Yes, sir. Aruna didn't sin. I did. Yes. So I should pay. And David made it plain. He was adamant about this. He said in verse 24, that he said to Aruna, no, but I will surely buy it from you. Why was he saying? For a price, he didn't just say, I'm just going to do it. This New King James, yours may say something slightly different, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. I can't let you just give me my offering to take to the Lord. I've got to pay something personal. It's got to cost me something. Amen. And that means, how many of y'all know there's something that hurt, but they're still good? Amen. It may hurt you. Amen. I hate to go back in the day to that long song a long time ago, but it hurt. But it's good. It hurts so good. Amen. And so the truth is, how can some hurt and be good? You see what I'm saying? That's what started this sermon. That's why. I think somebody else knows. The truth is that I need to feel the pain. I need to feel the loss, the hurt. Well, not only that, it must be healthy. You can just bring a sick, lame lamb in there and say, take this, priest, and sacrifice it for my sins. A lamb that had a flaw on the inside. Maybe born with some defect, an inherent flaw or an acquired flaw. It couldn't have been running through the woods and got skint up. It couldn't have been born sick, and it couldn't have gotten sick after it was born. It needed to be a perfect sacrifice. It needed to be a perfect sacrifice. This sacrifice needed to be healthy. It needed not to be sick. It needed to be well. It needs to be the best of the best. You remember when the prodigal son left home and he came home to his father? And his father said, "There come my son. Go kill the we've been don't just go get no cow out there in the back. Get the fatted calf, the one we've been feeding corn and watching what he eat. Bring the best in here. My boy has come home. I want to give God my best. Don't you want to give him your best?" Somebody said, "When have you give the best of yourself?" I want to give him the best of my service. I'm not going to just give him anything. Half done job. I'm not going to give him no shabby work. I'm not going to give him sloppy seconds. After I have served the man downtown, I'm going to come to the Lord and give him leftover energy, leftover strength. He gets what's left. He gets what's less. He don't get that which is less than. He get that which is greater than. He gets the best. Amen. Amen. He gets the best. And I just thank God because, amen, God gets the best. God gets the best. He gets the best. And he should get the best at the rest. Amen. Nothing less than the best at Zion rest. We're doing our best because he gave his best. Nothing less than the best at Zion. I don't want to go into no rap mode, but that's my rap song. I haven't perfected. See, I'm into rap. Nothing less than the best at Zion rest, where we give our best because he gave his best. Nothing less than the best. Yeah, y'all like that song. In the best at Zion rest. Come over to Zion rest, where we give our best. Nothing less than the best at Zion rest. Amen. The best teachers. Amen. Sister Mac was up here the other day, and she taught so well at homecoming. Pull out the best. Amen. And put them before the people. Nothing less. Well, you all got that point. It physically needed to be the best. Amen. It needed to be healthy. It needed to hurt. It needed to be healthy. And here's the contradiction, the oxymoron. Seemed like a contradiction. It needed to be make you happy. And the question is, how can you hurt and be happy? We'll get to that next, but the truth is that it's something about, the Bible says that we ought to give to the Lord hilariously. Now, we're not just talking about silver, we're talking about service. We got to give the Lord the best of our service. The best of all things. The first, the best. Well, we ought to do things, if it comes from your heart, because the Bible says, he says that God loves a cheerful, a happy giver. If you can't give it and like it and want to do it, God says, "I don't want you to work for me. I don't want you your wages. I don't want your work. I don't want your silver. I don't want your service." He says in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, give because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. I can't find it, but it's in there. You heard it before, I'm sure. God loves a cheerful giver. And so he says, yeah, there it is. He says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not forcefully, not of necessity, not made to, for God loves a cheerful giver." That word cheerful means hilarious. It means happy. I get happy when I give things to people. It makes me happy. It makes me bubble over. Amen. And that's what God says. Now, notice what he said. This is what you call proportionate giving. Some people say, well, some ought to tithe and some ought not to tithe. And some. At the end of the day, it's going to be proportionate. It's going to be proportionate. Proportionate giving means that there is not equal amount, but there is equal sacrifice. And that's what percentages do. Percentages don't make everybody get the same thing, because some folk bless better than the next person. So since somebody else is, since everybody don't make the same thing, and for it to be equal, you give proportionate giving. That means it's not equal amount, but it's equal sacrifice. And so therefore, everybody made, and notice, it's equal sacrifice. As man, every man has purpose in his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not forcefully, for God loves a cheerful or a happy giver. And that's what we think about when I think about the woman, amen, when I think about the woman who gave in the Bible, she was a giver. And what did she give? The Bible tells us that she gave, and as I read it, as Jesus was sitting in the collection box in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, starting at verse 41, this is the paraphrased version. Then he went over to the collection boxes in the temple and sat and watched as the crowd dropped in their money. So who were rich, some who were rich put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. And he called his disciples to him and remarked, "That poor widow has given more than all those rich men put together. For they gave a little of their extra fat, while she gave of her last penny." And oh, what a difference it makes when you give like that. But what I want you to know is giving ought to make you happy. Serving ought to make you happy, because the Bible tells us that we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 100 and verse 2. It tells us, you know, we ought to sing happy, serve happy, give happy. Anything you do, it ought to be happy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve. But when you come in and you're praising him and you're happy about praising him and you're thankful and you're giving and you're singing and you're serving and you're doing it all happy, God says, if you're going to be a grudge giver, then I don't want it. You can keep it. God says, I want you to be like this woman. The rich people gave more than enough. The rich had more than enough, but the widow had less than enough. The rich had more than enough, and the poor had less than enough. But yet those who had less than enough gave more than those who had more than enough. How did that happen? Because it came out of her heart. She says, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. But the truth of the matter is, it's offering time. And I'm going to give because it makes me feel good. But if you don't think you can give and it make you feel good, God said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it to impress people. Don't do it because the preacher said it. He says, I need to know that you love me and you want to do it because you want to do it. When I give to my grandkids what little I can, it makes me feel good. Do you know the giver is really the one that gets blessed? This Christmas, when you give somebody something, do you know it's going to bless you more than it's going to bless them? It make you feel good. That's why people who can't give don't feel that good. I can't give. I can't express myself. But to give somebody something is more blessing to you than it was to them. I did this for me. It wasn't for you. My heart is just a giving heart. Do you have a giving heart or do you have a grudge-holding heart? Well, the fact of the matter is, as we draw to a close, this giving that we're talking about here this morning, David says, I just can't give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. It needs to cost. It needs to hurt. It needs to be healthy. It needs to be happy when I give it. Not only that, my other H is, how can hurting make me happy? It's because it is something that is holy. Now, that's the key right there. I wish we had started there. But the truth is, anything holy is set apart. It's separated. And it's holy. There's holy money. There is holy matrimonies, holy marriages. And it's set apart. And the people in the marriage are happy. They may not look like it. Now, don't look at nobody. Now, hold, keep looking straight. Holiness is not synonymous with happiness. Doing right don't always make you happy. As far as a physical expression. Tell your neighbor, it's really not about happiness. It's about holiness. You see, you got to get to the point where holiness make you happy. I'm holy because I'm happy because my face ain't happy. Now, don't expect my flesh to be happy when you do something holy. You see, your flesh ain't going to go along with it. Your flesh will not be happy when you obey God. Your flesh will not feel good when you're loving your enemies. Your flesh won't feel good when it's cold and there's snow on the ground and you got to go to church. The flesh won't feel good when there's a program on television that you want to watch and you need to be studying the Sunday school, the church school lesson. Your flesh going to be fighting you tooth and nail. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. The flesh is not going to be happy when you keep your vows. The flesh wants to be all over the place. The flesh wants to run around everywhere. The flesh wants to do any and everything. Just let my flesh run wild and my flesh will feel good. So don't think that when I talk about hurting and happiness, that it's talking about our understanding of happiness. But no, holiness is when I'm walking the straight and narrow. Holiness is when I'm doing my Father's will. Holiness. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. This is a holy. I'm not going to be happy about getting my hands nailed. How many of y'all know there's going to be some blood coming out of there? And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He got on his knees. Said, Father, take it away. This cup is too bitter. I don't want to drink it. The cup of suffering. The cup of pain, the cup of hurting. I don't want it. But not my will, but thine be done. Oh, have you ever done anything that's not really it's not your will? I'm going to preach about that. I ain't got to it yet. I'm going to preach about it. I don't know when he's going to let me get to it. I think it's going to be Sunday after next. But next Sunday, I'm going to try to preach about running out of time. And after that, I want to talk about what is God doing. Amen. Because it's not about what you're doing, it's about what he's doing. Now, the truth of the matter is Jesus on his knees says, it's not my will. My will would be a whole lot happier doing something different than letting these people mistreat me like this, Lord. They're going to pull my beard out. Let me get back over here. The truth of the matter is that holiness is what made God happy and staying together for the sake of the family is what makes God happy. It's about overcoming sin. It's about seeing the greater good. It's about being there for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. It's about setting a structure in place that will stand the test of time. You see, love is not an emotion. Amen. Love, the biblical agape love is unconditional love. That means you can hate me and I got to love you. He said, love your enemies. Now, let's think about that. I ain't got time to go into it. Just let it think about enemies. This is not emotional, is it? This does not make, I get happy and go to splitting verse, and I have to listen back at my tapes. I got to delete that out and run Reggie crazy. But the truth is, love is does not, real love is not something that you, your flesh feels good. Don't define love by being, having goosebumps and making something make your liver quiver. And what those first 2 or 3 months of meeting your spouse, that's, you call that love. That was not. Love is when you get down to the nitty gritty. Huh? And you've been there a while. And you're there now because it's not my will, but thine be done. Love is doing what's right. In the flesh that I want to do what's wrong. Love. Anybody. Love is when I'm with you and I don't like your ways. Love stands the test of time. Love is till death do us part. You know, until death do you part, somebody gonna get mad. But since it's not my will, but thine be done, and since this is a holy matrimony, not a happy matrimony. Well, so as I close here, so we can, David says it's gotta cost me something. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what you must understand is that you have not given until you've given more than you can spare. When you've given more than you can spare, then you have really tapped in to sacrificial giving. That giving cost you something. You didn't give out of the fluff. I gave, it didn't hurt me to give that. I didn't even feel it. But you really didn't give sacrificially. David said, I got to feel it.